From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Wednesday, January 30th, 2019. And on this day, Governor Janet Mills' nominee to lead the Department of Environmental Protection is a step closer to being confirmed, but he is very controversial with Maine's Native American tribes and some environmentalists. That's ahead in just a moment. Democratic Governor Janet Mills' pick to lead the Department of Environmental Protection cleared the first step in his confirmation process, but not before emerging as a symbol of the state's fractured relationship with Maine's Native American tribes. Dozens of environmental advocates and tribal representatives testified during Jerry Reed's confirmation hearing before the legislature's Environment and Natural Resources Committee. Reed, who worked as an assistant attorney general under Mills, attempted to offer an olive branch to the tribes by vowing to increase water quality standards on a section of the Penobscot River to allow for sustenance fishing, but his overture did not persuade those who saw him as an opponent to the environmental justice long sought by the tribes. Steve Missler has our story.
About 4 hours into Reed's confirmation hearing, Dawn Neptune Adams finally got her chance to testify. By this time, Adams had heard Reed's pledge to improve relations with the tribe and his supporters' attempt to separate his legal duties as an assistant attorney general, duties that put him at odds with the Penobscot Nation when it clashed with the state over who has authority to regulate paddlers, anglers, hunters, and trappers on the Penobscot River. Adams, a member of the Penobscot Nation and an environmental activist, was asked by Senator Brownie Carson, a Democrat from Harpswell, if she would work to repair the relationship if Reed was confirmed as DEP commissioner. Adams said she would try, but...
I'll never trust him, and I'll never trust Janet Mills. Never.
That comment punctuated Reed's confirmation hearing. It also illustrates the challenges Governor Mills faces as she attempts to reset the state's relationship with its Native American people. Tensions between the tribes and the state have deteriorated, sparking multiple legal battles. As Attorney General, Mills was drawn into those fights because her office represents the state in legal matters. And Reed, an assistant attorney general, was at the forefront of one of the most contentious legal disputes in recent years, regulatory authority over the Penobscot River. So far, the courts have sided with the state and Reed's arguments in that dispute. And making matters worse, says Penobscot Nation member Sherry Mitchell, an attorney who works on indigenous rights, is that Reed has argued a separate case involving water quality standards on the river.
All of these actions indicate that sustenance fishing rights are indeed a big deal in the real world, and they demonstrate Mr. Reed's willingness to fight against the improved water quality standards that are necessary to support them.
And Mitchell and others were not consoled by Reed's pledge to pursue higher water quality standards on a 60-mile stretch of the river as DEP commissioner, nor by his willingness to meet with members of the Penobscot Nation.
I would envision a meeting on Indian Island. I've traveled there several times before, and I think it's important to show willingness to travel there again for meetings like this so that I can talk to them more directly about what I'm thinking and also hear from them about what they're thinking.
Environmental groups were also divided over Reed's nomination. The Sierra Club opposed him, citing his work on tribal water issues, as did individual environmental activists. But the Nature Conservancy, Conservation Law Foundation, Natural Resources Council of Maine, and Environmental Health Strategy Center all supported him. Pete Dittesheim, advocacy director for NRCM, described Reed's water quality standard proposal as a breakthrough in sustenance fishing rights for the Penobscots.
What you heard in terms of a process for improving water quality standards, I just note, is something we have not heard in my 22 years. Working here in the state.
And Sean Mahoney, with the Conservation Law Foundation, attempted to separate Reed's personal convictions with his duties as Assistant Attorney General.
When one represents a client, you are obligated to do your best to provide that client with the best advice and the best representation that you can. That's your job as an attorney. Sometimes that doesn't necessarily mesh with your own personal views.
Reed's opponents don't see such a distinction. And some expressed exasperation that Governor Mills would pick him to lead the DEP at the same time she has vowed to improve tribal relations. Several lawmakers on the Environment and Natural Resources Committee seemed equally perplexed, especially in private. But none voted to oppose Reed's confirmation, which now moves to the Senate for a final vote. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
Now that they control the legislature, Democrats are working to undo a number of LePage-era labor laws, including one that governs how earned pay affects unemployment benefits. Under current state law, earned pay, like accrued vacation pay, must be used up before laid-off workers can get unemployment compensation. Democrats are backing a measure that would allow anyone who's laid off to start getting unemployment immediately without a wait or offset. While that change would cost employer-funded system only a couple $100,000 a year, the business community opposes the legislation, saying all wages earned while collecting unemployment, even accrued vacation and holiday pay, should be treated the same. Maine State Chamber of Commerce President Peter Gore.
If the fellow employee who had used all their vacation time went out and got a part-time job while they were receiving unemployment insurance, their unemployment insurance would be offset by the wages that they earned at the time. Why should these wages be any different?
Democratic Senator Aaron Herbig of Belfast says some people who are laid off can't collect unemployment for 6 months, which she says feels unfair. A story this week in the Bangor Daily News describes the University of Maine at Farmington's handling of two students' claims of sexual assault by fellow students in 2017 and 2018. In both cases, the assaults were dealt with under the school's Title IX process, and in both cases, reporter Aaron Rhoda writes, they were seriously mishandled for reasons that are not clear. And as a result of Rhoda's article, the university is taking action to make sure it's what interim president Eric Brown called the best possible guardian of student safety and trust. You can read the full story by going to mainepublic.org. And I asked Aaron Rhoda how the two young women's stories played out.
Two female students at the University of Maine at Farmington reported being raped by two different male students at the university. As part of the university's process for dealing with reported complaints like this, they went through an investigation and a hearings process, and ultimately committees determined that the women had been raped, but then both of the students experienced errors in the handling of their cases and saw their findings overturned in what they described as really bizarre fashion.
So both of these women say that they were raped by fellow UMF students. And in both cases, they ended up being the cases ended up being dealt with in a way that you describe as bizarre.
Yes, this was something that the students described to me, their attorney described to me, and when I talked to outside experts and told them about the women's experience, they even went so far as to say that the procedures, the way that the university handled the cases, likely violated Title IX, the federal law.
Can you talk to me about why this is a Title IX issue and what the potential consequences are of that for UMF?
There are several paths that students can pursue if they have been sexually assaulted. There is the criminal process where they can go to police, but we know that that is, in many cases, unlikely that there will be a prosecution of a rape case. So under Title IX, which is the federal anti-discrimination law, schools have to also conduct their own investigations. And during that process, they have to meet a lower standard of evidence to decide whether the offending student should be, for instance, suspended or expelled. And that's to protect women and men who have been assaulted because under the federal law, there should be equal access to education. So this is a regulatory rules process as opposed to a criminal process designed to protect students.
And if a university is found to be in violation of Title IX, what are the potential consequences for that university?
It is possible for the Office for Civil Rights within the U.S. Department of Education to investigate that university and possibly pull their federal funding.
The University of Maine at Farmington has made some commitments in response to your article on this.
So the interim university president yesterday sent an email to staff, students, and a lot of others to say that the university was going to be making changes, including doing two campus climate surveys to see how students thought the university could improve. They're going to screen a film called The Hunting Ground to prompt discussion about the issue of sexual assault. And they're going to search for a vice president of student affairs who has experience dealing with this issue. And they're also going to hire a new mental health counselor who has experience dealing with issues of sexual assault.
And we'll link to this full story on our website, mainepublic.org. Erin Rhoda is a reporter and editor at the Bangor Daily News. Erin, thank you so much.
Thank you.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Wednesday, January 30th, 2019. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team. I'm Nora Flaherty.